Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I don't have a lot to say this morning. I'm wanting to hear some more music. But the one thing, a couple of things, when the Bible was talking about obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as them that must give account. That's the part that scares me, you know. Every pastor, every evangelist, every teacher, every prophet, every apostle is accountable to the Lord for those who he ministers to. This is a fact. And if you go back in the Old Testament, I think it's Ezekiel 33, where he talks about the watchman. That pastor is going to, God will tell that pastor what he needs to know. The question is, will the pastor listen? And because God knows the nature of hirelings, that's what most pastors are today, they're hirelings. They're not appointed by God. They're appointed by the people. It's like the tail of the dog choosing what kind of dog he wants to sit on. And then wags to the tune, and the preacher wags to the tune of the dog. So God has his own watchman that he puts out there. But he too is responsible. The watchmen appointed by God are your apostles and prophets. And they're accountable. And I got to thinking, you know, I listen to the news once in a while. Oh, man, I hate listening to the news. Listen to these politicians lie, and the garbage that they put forth and what's going on in this country right now and the laws they're passing. And none of us are free, and they could put any one of us in jail anytime they wanted to. But the bottom line is, I would get so angry, and I'd want to hate them. Then I got to thinking, the secular authorities in this land also are accountable to God. Where does that put them? All of a sudden, I don't hate them so much. All of a sudden, I start feeling sorry for them. Because I know what's coming. Talked about the judgment. There's a judgment. We're here to learn to obey the Lord. We learn through those whom he gives us. And when we fail, he has grace. It's covered. It's like going into a golf tournament with an unlimited number of mulligans given to you. That's my kind of golf. Oh, well, it didn't hit that one right. I'll take a mulligan. I hit that sucker 10 times till it goes where it wants, where I want it to. That's my way of playing golf. But there'll come a time when you graduate from mulligan golf to pro golf. And when you get to pro golf, there are no mulligans. There are no mulligans. Right now, we're covered by grace. Right now, we sin, we screw up. We're covered by the grace of God, and I praise God for that. I asked the Lord, how deep is His grace? How great is His grace? One time. And He showed me, as it were, a cutaway of the ocean. And in this cutaway, it showed us the land going out and sinking and sinking and sinking in deep trenches and everything. And He likened the grace to the water. So that no matter how deep you were in that ocean, grace still covered you. What a beautiful thought for now. Not that we should take advantage of it, amen. Use it. Don't abuse it. But the day comes when we are in heaven, there no longer is grace. There's no grace in heaven. See, we know in part now. We see darkly as through a dirty piece of mirror or something. We don't see the whole picture right now. I don't care who you are. I've never known a minister yet, including myself, that God has given perfect understanding of the entire Word. Now Luke had perfect understanding of the Gospel. Amen. See, he had perfect understanding of the Gospel. He didn't have perfect understanding of the entire Word of God. God has given me perfect understanding on certain parts of His Word, but not the whole thing. I don't know it all. Although some would like to think I do, or try to get me to, I don't. But one day when we stand before Jesus Christ, then we will know it all. We'll know every bit of it. And when you know it all, then there's no excuse. And there's no more need for grace. Use this time wisely. Use it wisely, not only for the sake of your own salvation, but for the sake of those that are over you. Remember, God is a good God. He's a loving God. But He's not a sinner. I mean, He will not lie for you. He will not change His plan for you. He has a plan. And the reason we can trust Him is He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. If He wasn't, then how could we trust Him? We couldn't. Little note to you fathers out there. Sure will help your children in their learning of the Lord when you can be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Always speaking the truth and never changing, unless it's to go and change in an area the Lord told you you were wrong in. Amen? There are some, you know, the biggest problem I have, or used to have, I don't have it anymore, praise God. Biggest problem I used to have was comparing myself to other people. You know, yeah, I'm a sinner, but I'm not a sinner like that sinner is. I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do the other thing. God has two columns, sin, no sin. Two columns, sin, no sin. You're either in one or the other. Standing on your own, you're in sin. You only are in no sin when you're covered by His grace and He moves you over to the other column. But the minute you stop depending on Him for that and look at Him for that grace, He throws you back in the other column. Some of y'all ought to get dizzy by now, switching back and forth. Recognize your sin. Recognize you are a sinner, because all pride and all vanity, covetousness, all of that stuff is sin. You may not go out and commit murder and all these heinous things that you hear about around the world. God help them. I mean, you know, what can I say? God help the victims. Amen. But God help me if I think I'm better than they are. The only advantage I have over them, the only advantage, is I believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I put my hope in His ability to save me, not in my ability. So when I die, I pray that I go through. And if I go through, then I can rejoice, because I know when I get to that great white throne judgment that none of the things that I've done wrong or bad or evil, none of the lies, nothing that I've ever done will be spoken of in that judgment. Only the things that I've done right in Him. Whew. That's a load off my shoulders. Used to terrify me just the thought of going to heaven and having to go to that great white throne judgment. But boy, if I don't make it, that's going to be a bad scene. So why don't we do what we need to do now to make it? And to make it is to put our trust and faith in Him. 100%. 100%. All the way. Hold back nothing. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were telling me about how mad they got at somebody, and all like this. And I said, well, that's your old man. He was telling me how bad he felt about it, and, you know, he wished he hadn't done this. I said, that's your new man. And no, I mean, you know, that's how you tell the difference. Your old man wants to get mad. Your old man wants to cuss. Your old man wants to strike out. Your old man wants to justify. Your old man wants to tell everybody how good you are and how bad everybody else is. That's the old man. And if you live by that man, you will die by that man. Period. The new man loves, full of hope, sees no evil, doesn't covet, always looking to help and to serve others, looking out for the good of others. If we can cultivate that new man in Jesus Christ and let the faith of Christ that He put in us work that new man to that place He wants us to be, the old man will slowly die away, and we won't have to listen to him anymore. Amen. Amen.